Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Proverbs 8:35. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8:35. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 8:35. Jeremiah 9:23. Do not let a wise man boast of his wisdom, and do not let the mighty man boast of his might. And do not let the rich man boast of his riches. Jeremiah 9:23. Do not let a wise man boast of his wisdom. And do not let the mighty man boast of his might. And do not let a rich man boast of his riches. Jeremiah 9:23. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. A different message entirely from the previous one. I think we will enjoy our study today looking at the harmony of the Gospels. The harmony of the Gospels simply means Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If you don't already know that, it's good for you to hear it. If you have heard it many, many times, it's good for you to hear it again. The harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is a magnificent passage of Scripture that we find ourselves in today, Matthew 1:21. Before we begin our study, we spend a moment in prayer. May we pray together. Please. Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus Christ, His willingness to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man, to go to the cross and to die for the sins of the world. We're continually amazed as we study the Scripture to see the incarnation, the hypostatic union, God in the flesh. We're thankful for the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the session of our Savior Jesus Christ. May all of these words become more important to us and more meaningful as we give consideration to everything you've done in the past, what you're doing for us now, and what you shall do for us in the future. Thank you for these wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. We present here the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. Christ in the Gospels. Our scripture is Matthew 1:21. And she will bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he will save the people, all of them, who will believe from their sins. All of you are aware of the fact that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Every person born, salvation has been provided for them. Some will accept, some will not accept. The people who do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior, it is not that Christ did not die for them. It is the fact that He did. And because of their free will, volition, they are continually making the decision not to accept His plan of salvation. I need to tell you something at the very outset here. When I look at Matthew 1:21, such a magnificent, marvelous passage of Scripture. It says, "And she will bear a son." When I look at this, I have to let you see that there is a Greek word here that's the first word in the Greek sentence, not the first word to be translated. Because here we have the post-positive conjunctive particle day. And she will bear. There's the first word. I don't need to remind you of this, but I'm going to. When you find an active voice in the Greek, the subject produces the action of the verb. When you find a passive voice, the subject receives the action of the verb. When you find a middle voice, the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. How many thousands of times have I said that over these years? I say it without an apology. I say it because if you didn't hear it and really hear it in the past, it's time for you now to hear it and really hear it. Not only hear it with your ears, but hear it with comprehension, understanding, epinosis, being able to fully understand that Mary, the recipient of the Holy Spirit, brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and she was benefited thereby. But also, this middle voice tells us what made a great benefit to her has made a greater benefit to the world. And she will bear a son. Future, middle, indicative. And thou shalt call, future, active, indicative. Have I said this before? Yes. Do I need to say it again? Yes. Middle voice, Mary, the recipient of the Holy Spirit, brought about the conversion or the birth, the conception and the birth of Jesus Christ that brings about the conversion of every individual who will believe. I don't want my words to be confused here. I want you to see conception, birth, conversion. I want you to see that God, by the Holy Spirit, brought about the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. That makes it possible for you and me, when we believe, to become a son of God. I refer to this in the first session today. I shall preach on that one of these days. It's powerful indeed. And she will bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. How can I do this? Over the years, we've preached on Jesus in every book of the Bible. Remember that? Starting back at Genesis, Jesus in every book of the Old Testament, Jesus in every book of the New Testament. Now we're looking at the harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Christ in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel presentation is found in these four books in a magnificent way. In Matthew, Jesus Christ is presented as the king. In Mark, Jesus Christ is presented as a servant. In Luke, Jesus Christ is presented as the God-man, man. Anthropos, man. Aner, noble man. In Matthew, Jesus Christ is the king. In Mark, servant. Luke, man. And in the Gospel of John, God. It's a simple outline, but it's a powerful outline. It is one of the most important things you will ever hear when you take a look at Jesus Christ. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Matthew, Jesus as king. In the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ does not relate the birth of Christ, since a king does not have a lowly birth. When you look at the Gospel of Matthew, you do not find an emphasis upon the birth of Christ, so to speak, since a king does not have a lowly birth. Number two, rather, Matthew traces Jesus' life, the royal descent, back to Abraham and David through Solomon. You're not going to get this unless you think about it. It's powerful. Number one, he does not relate the birth of Christ since a king does not have a lowly birth in Matthew. Rather, the book of Matthew traces Jesus' royal descent back to Abraham and David through Solomon. I'm accepting the fact that you already know about the genealogy of Jesus. I'm accepting the fact that you understand that there's a genealogy in Matthew and there's a genealogy in Luke. I'm accepting the fact that you already know that. I don't want to insult you in any way by thinking you don't know that. But in case you don't know that, don't tell anyone that you don't know that. Just remember that you know it now. Two genealogies, Matthew, Luke, of Jesus. When you go to Matthew, Jesus' royal descent is traced back to Abraham and David through Solomon. We'll have some more to say about that in the genealogy in Luke, but later. In the book of Matthew, Jesus Christ is presented as a lion from the tribe of Judah, the promised ruler of Israel. Wow. Number three, in Matthew, Jesus Christ is presented as a lion from the tribe of Judah, the promised ruler of Israel. Oh my, I am overcome when I think about this. When I see the Old Testament and follow God's plan in relationship to the people of Israel. Number four, he has a king's name in Matthew. Matthew 1:23. Let me reread 21. And she will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. He's presented in Matthew, the king's name, Emmanuel, 1:23. That's number four. Number five, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, he has a king's position, governor. Number six, He has a king's announcement. Make straight his path. Matthew 3:2. Number 7. He has a king's coronation. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Matthew 3:17. Number 8. He has due respect. In Matthew 4:10. Worship the Lord thy God. Are you seeing this? Quickly. He has a king's name, Emmanuel 4. 5, he has a king's position, governor, Matthew 2:3. He has a king's announcement, make straight his path, Matthew 3:2. 7, he has a king's coronation, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, Matthew 3:17. 8, he has due respect, worship the Lord thy God, Matthew 4:10. Number 9, he has a king's proclamation. Matthew 7:29, he taught as no as one having authority. He taught as no one else has ever taught. He taught as one having authority. Number 10, he has a king's loyalty. Not with me, against me. If you're not with me, you're against me. Matthew 12:30. Number 11, he has king's enemies. The scripture says in Matthew 16:21 that this Jesus must go and suffer many things. No doubt about that. When you study the life of Jesus, you will discover that he suffered many things. Along with dying on the cross and all of that, he suffered many things. Matthew 16:21. 12. He has a king's love to give life. His life is a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. Number 13, he has a king's glory. The king shall say unto them, come, blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom. King's glory. Matthew 25. I don't know what you're doing with this, but I trust that when this is all over today, you'll be able to see Jesus in Matthew and how he's presented. In Mark, how he's presented. Luke, how he's presented. John, how he's presented. I hope that today you'll have a clearer picture of Jesus Christ. Number 14, he has a king's sacrifice in Matthew. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews, in Matthew 27:35-37. 15, he has a king's victory. He's not here. He's risen. There's the king's victory in Matthew 28:6. And one other. Matthew tells of the royalty of the wise men coming to see Jesus. I realize that you can't hold all of those things in your mind, but if you've taken a few notes, you'll be able to rehearse it in the future. Now we move to Mark. Mark presents Jesus as a servant. Now, let's get this clear. In Matthew, Jesus is presented as a king. In Mark, Jesus is presented as a servant. Number one, the lineage of Jesus in Mark is omitted. No one interested in the pedigree of a servant. That should ring a bell with you. Jesus is presented here as a servant. There's no pedigree of a servant. Number two, no visit of wise men is mentioned. Servants do not receive homage. Number three, no quotations from the prophets except one, a servant. Now notice number four. Matthew quotes on every page. He calls Jesus Lord. But when you go to Mark, Mark calls Jesus Master. You get it? Servant, Master. Number five, Mark presents Christ as a perfect workman, A servant has no kingdom and frames no laws. Mark presents Christ as a perfect workman. A servant has no kingdom. A servant frames no laws. Number six, there's no statement that his work was finished at his death. When a servant died, it doesn't say that his work was finished. It's not for a servant to say when his work is done. Does that say anything about you and me? I hope that registers with you. Let's move to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, now Luke. Luke presents Jesus as a man. Could I stop for a moment to tell you? Let's draw this triangle. And let's see Jesus' deity too, leaving heaven's glory and coming to the earth. And when he came to the earth, he came as the God-man. Draw a line down the center of that triangle, and on one side put God. On the other side put man. We have Jesus Christ in the flesh, the hypostatic union. Jesus Christ born by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth. It was not Joseph. It was the Holy Spirit that brought about the virgin conception and the virgin birth. And so when deity too became the God-man, he was all God. He was all man. All the characteristics of God. All the characteristics of man. Luke presents Jesus as man. Luke deals with Jesus' perfect humanity. Jesus in the flesh. Are you with me? Are you thinking? Are you able to see this, how powerful it is? Luke tells of the virgin birth in a cattle stall. Luke presents the genealogy of Jesus that goes back to David through Nathan and then back and back and back to Adam, the first man. That was not true in relationship to the genealogy found in Matthew. Number four, Luke reveals Jesus with sympathies, feelings, toiling with his hands, weeping over a city, kneeling down in prayer, and in agony suffering. We see him as the God-man. Oh, my friends, can you see this? Number five. Man, God-man, Jesus in the flesh, the hypostatic union. This book shows Jesus' compassion for the outcast, whether Samaritan or publican or prodigal, Zacchaeus or the thief on the cross. You've got to see this, folks. Before you know it, this message will be over. And I want you to realize that this does not to get over in your thinking. When you go to the last book, John presents Jesus as God. God has no genealogy. So John does not give one, either legal or blood. There is no account of his birth in this last book, John, because he was in the beginning as God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God has no genealogy in this book, the Gospel of John. So John does not give one, either legal or bloodline. Where is it found? In Matthew and in Luke. There is no account of his birth because he was in the beginning as God. Number three, there's nothing about his boyhood in the Gospel of John or his temptation and no appointing of his disciples. Number four, in John, he's called the Word. He's called the Creator. the only begotten of the Father, the Lamb of God, the great I Am. Do you see that in the Gospel of John? Oh, you've got to see it. You've got to see it. In John, Jesus is the Son of God. And as such, He refers, my Father, 35 times. Wow. All the way back. And she shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he will save the people from their sins. In your notes and in your mind, you ought to have, in Matthew, Jesus is presented as the King. In Mark, he's presented as the servant. In Luke, he's presented as the man. In John, he's presented as God. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful today for these magnificent books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most of all, we're thankful for the way Jesus, our Savior, is presented. It is so wonderful to be able to see this. Help us to understand that this deity too became God in the flesh to go to the cross and to die for us. And may we appreciate and love and respect and have admiration and appreciation for everything you've done and are doing for us. Thank you. And for those who hear the message today who've never accepted you, may this be their very most important moment of life when they personally accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. The one who has the Son has life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life, the Bible says. Salvation is a gift from God to us, but we're to accept that gift, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be many at this very moment who will do that. And we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.